This is Washington Watch Weekly, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Now here's our host, the president of the Family Research Council, Tony Perkins.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. A big weekend here in Washington, D.C. as values voters from across the country converged on the nation's capital for the 8th annual Values Voter Summit. The issues of faith, family, and freedom took center stage as senators and congressmen, along with conservative leaders, spent 2.5 days with conservative activists. Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina was one of those conservative leaders, and we'll hear from him in just a moment. Also, Congressman Mike Pompeo will give us an update on what Congress is doing to ensure men and women in uniform can exercise their religious freedom that the Obama administration has shut down because of the government slowdown. Also, this past Tuesday, I spoke with the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, Jack Hibbs, about his recent efforts to overturn AB 1266 in California. This law gives students the right to participate in sex-segregated programs, activities, and facilities based on their self-perception and regardless of their birth gender. I had Pastor Hibbs on to spotlight the obvious harms of this bill, but also to support his effort to overturn this bill and to let folks know how they can help. Here's the interview I had with Pastor Jack Hibbs. Well, you may remember a few weeks ago we reported on this legislation out of California, California AB 1266, called the Transgender Student Rights Law. This is the bill that passed and was signed into law by the governor to allow boys to use girls' facilities and vice versa, beginning in kindergarten. The law gives students the right to participate in sex-segregated programs, meaning sports or whatever, activities and facilities based on their self-perception and regardless of their birth gender. Now, parents are refusing to sit on their hands here. They're getting up and getting involved. This has created a new wave of activism in California, trying to do all they can to protect children by overturning this bill. Now, Pastor Jack Hibbs, who, as I mentioned, is a senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in California, has been helping spearhead this issue, and he joins us now with the latest on this effort. Pastor Jack, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, Tony, thank you for having us on, and Tony, we're talking about kids, as you said, from K to 12, self-determining on any given day. Tony, by the way, the law allows them to maybe self-determine their gender several times during the course of one day. So what that means is, Tony, a junior high boy can self-determine without any parental notification, without his teacher knowing, without the principal or his coach knowing. If he wants to go into the girls' locker room, girls' bathroom, or join a girls' sports program, swim program, he's allowed to do that. He can actually disrobe. He can look at girls that have disrobed. This is something that Californians who are finding out about it, regardless of their party affiliation. We've even had homosexuals, Tony, step up and sign this petition. People know that it's wrong. When they hear about it, they want to act up regarding this and shut this terrible bill down. It is the co-ed bathroom law, as you said, AB 1266. But listen, everybody out there, please pray for us in California. We need 505,000 signatures. You can help us by going to our website, privacyforallstudents.com. Everyone knows somebody in California. Make sure they go to the website. They can encourage their friends who live in California to sign this petition. But, Tony, we've got some good news. We've got a tremendous groundswell. Now, granted, we don't have much time. We weren't given much time to stop this. Our deadline is November 6th to get that 505,000 signatures. But we've got 27 pro-family organizations online with us. We just heard the other day that the California Republican Party has fully endorsed AB 1266 referendum, and others in the Democratic Party as well. So this is a social experiment, Tony, that has been offered up by Jerry Brown's friends in San Francisco. Listen, grandparents, which I am, parents, we need you in California to stand up and let your voice be heard by signing this petition, because this is literally the safety of our children. If we don't stand for this, Tony, we are actually sending our kids in the public school system to actually experience, encounter, view, and be viewed in a context that I'm actually blushing trying to communicate to you, Tony, right now. Yeah. On the phone.
You know, I think you're right. A lot of our listeners think this is just this is made up. It's so bizarre it could not be real. But now look, we are talking about California. We're talking about Jerry Brown, who is the governor. This bill passed through the legislature, which, by the way, just for the benefit of our listeners across the country, California has a supermajority of Democrats, and they tend to be very liberal in California. So the Republicans basically, almost like Obamacare here on the national level, the Republicans had no say in it whatsoever. This passed through, Governor Brown signed it into place, and so now there is a something that is not totally unique to California, but certainly something used a lot in California, is the people of California putting this on the ballot by gathering the signatures, and then it will be voted on by the people, and the effort here would be to overturn the legislature. Is that a correct synopsis?
That's exactly correct, Tony. And people can help us. Look, you don't have to be in California to stand with us. What happens in California doesn't stay in California. So, quite frankly, we need money to get professional signature gatherers out there. We need people to go to that website, privacyforallstudents.com. Pray for us, please. Pastors out there, will you inform your people? Stand with us. We need help. Our culture is under attack. Our children's safety's in question here in California.
This kind of stuff spreads, and if it's not stopped in California on the West Coast or the East Coast, it moves to the flyover country, and before you know it, this is just it's almost beyond belief that we are allowing things like this. And I'm wondering, Pastor Jack, even there in California, when parents are starting to get the word of what this actually would expose their kids to in school, if they're shaking their heads and saying, you know what, enough is enough. We've got to stop this stuff.
Yeah, Tony, it's beautiful. We are getting amazing door-to-door response from people once they understand. It doesn't take long for us to explain what's going on. Number one, Tony, they're not aware of it. The law was passed without them knowing about it. But when they hear about it, they say, let me sign it. In fact, go to my neighbor. He's going to want to sign it too. So we don't have much time, but I got to tell you, we are getting signatures, and we're happy about that. And people, irregardless of their political affiliation, they are saying, this is wrong. It's over the top.
Well, I got to ask the question about the liability that these school districts would have if, with no safeguards here, where people were able to, these adolescents who are, supercharged on hormones, go in and even as pranks engage in some of this activity that could be very damaging, both psychologically and even lead to sexual abuse and physical abuse. I mean, there's liability here for somebody.
Well, Tony, the passing of this law caused me to remember. I never would have remembered this, and this is for your listening audience. This was before I became a Christian. I remember being in junior high, doing everything possible to throw the ball into the girls' locker room so I could have an excuse to run in there and maybe sneak a peek. Well, now Governor Jerry Brown gave every boy or every girl the opportunity, sanctioned by his decree, to go on into the opposite sex bathroom and sneak a state-sanctioned peek. This is insane, and you mentioned it. Listen, a 15-year-old boy's hormones, the poor kid doesn't know if he's going insane or what from any given day. This is an absolute prescription for disaster. I can't imagine the fallout. And look, as a grandparent, sending my grandchild, knowing my grandchild is going to go to her class, she might go to the bathroom or she might go into the locker room, and there comes Johnny, and he's pulling the stunt. It's still, stunt or not, it's going to affect her heart, her mind, and she's going to feel defiled just being looked at that age. This is wrong. It is immoral. It is unbiblical. And it's just unreasonable. And Christian or not, people who care need to stand up and let their voice be heard.
Again, that was Pastor Jack Hibbs, senior pastor at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. To find out more about how you can support him in his efforts to stand with parents and protect children there in the state of California and prevent it from coming to your state, go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. After we come back from the break, Congressman Mark Meadows is going to be joining us to talk about the latest on Capitol Hill in terms of the standoff between the GOP and the White House. Don't go away. We're coming right back with more Washington Watch, the weekend edition, right right after this.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, President of the Family Research Council. If you've ever received a letter from me or heard our Washington Watch radio program, you know that I always like to close with an encouraging reminder from the Apostle Paul. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul describes the armor that is provided by God to the followers of Jesus Christ. In that passage, Paul calls each of us into action by ordering us to stand our ground. Ephesians 6:13 reads like this, "Therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." Well, you can take a stand. You can stand with us by going to TonyPerkins.com to receive more information on how you can order one of FRC's new Stand t-shirts. Now you can wear your commitment to stand for God's truth and in the process, encourage others to do the same. To order your Stand t-shirt today, go to TonyPerkins.com and click on the Stand t-shirt graphic for more information. And together, we'll stand.
This year, we marked a dismal anniversary, 40 years since the Supreme Court declared abortion a, quote, right to privacy. FRC's booklet, 40 Years After Roe v. Wade, commemorates this loss of life and highlights the courageous, inspiring stories of six women, women who have dedicated their lives to protect unborn children and their mothers. Their experiences and opinions are their own, but they stand unified in heart and purpose. Together, we mourn the loss of over 55 million precious lives since Roe v. Wade. Together, we fight to protect the dignity and opportunity of each unborn child and every mother in need. To find out more about our resources or to order your copy of this publication, visit frc.org/onelife. Again, that's frc.org/onelife.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for being with us. This past Thursday, I had a conversation with Congressman Mark Meadows there at the Values Voter Summit as we were getting ready to kick it off. He represents the 11th District of North Carolina, and we were talking about the debt ceiling debate, the continuing resolution, and the whole issue regarding the government shutdown. The House of Representatives has made plenty of efforts to reopen the government, to only have the Senate table every measure. Will the Republicans hold firm on their demands that the president respect the rights of conscience and even the effort to repeal or at least suspend portions of Obamacare? Will the GOP prevail? This was my conversation that I had with Congressman Meadows on Thursday. Well, we are now in day 10 of the government slowdown showdown. GOP coming out of a conference today has a plan to temporarily raise the debt ceiling in exchange for the Democrats going to conference and working out differences on the other issues like continuing resolution. Now, Republican leaders are set to meet with the president. In fact, I think they're meeting with him right now on the House. Tomorrow, Senate Republicans are supposed to be meeting with the president in the morning. The debt ceiling does not affect the government shutdown, so negotiations on how to get the government running again are still going to be worked out, and that's a part of this equation in bringing conservatives to the table. Joining me now to give us the latest on what is happening on Capitol Hill is a congressman from the 11th Congressional District of North Carolina, Mark Meadows, no stranger to this program, and he's been right there in the middle of all of it. Congressman Meadows, welcome back to the program.
It's good to be back with you, Tony. Thanks so much.
And let me just say, this is safe territory, okay?
Okay, good deal.
This is all conservatives here, so you're safe. All right, what's the latest?
There's not much safe in Washington, D.C., so this is a good place to be.
And let me just say this, for those that may not have heard Mark on the program, he's a freshman, a key supporter of FRC in the years past. This, you have been to the Values Voter Summit many times. This is your first time as a congressman,
right,
to be here. And you have been baptized by fire, being right in the middle of the negotiations over the continuing resolution to make sure that we get protections. Number one, if we can't make Obamacare go away altogether, which is goal number one,
to ensure that conscience protections and some of these other things that are right now becoming a serious threat to religious liberty is addressed. Are we making progress?
We're making progress. I mean, truly, I sat where a lot of these people that are watching us broadcast here today, and this is my first time on this side of of the mic, but it is trial by fire, but we're making progress, and I would say with religious freedom and the protection thereof, the voices are united in that, and I'm seeing that if nothing more comes out of this, hopefully we make sure that our religious freedoms are protected, and that this Obamacare law that has been so devastating in so many areas hopefully will not infringe on those rights.
I was talking with a reporter this afternoon that was calling me saying, well, you know, is the Republican Party falling apart because there's these factions within Congress? You got these conservatives that just won't negotiate. They won't compromise. What is wrong with them? I said, wait a minute. Why are people asking that question? Because let's go back to 2010 when there was this surge of conservatives that were elected to Congress that actually switched the majority over to the Republicans. 2012, more conservatives elected. Why? They were running to repeal Obamacare.
Right.
Was that an issue in your election?
Well, it was huge in my election, and really we're only now starting to see the harmful effects of what's happening. Bills and premiums are starting to come in, and these people are saying, oh, my word, I mean, what you've told me, you underestimated the harm. But really, when we talk about negotiating, it's the Senate that hasn't, been negotiating. We've got a Harry Reid, which is, I guess the de facto president right now, because he's the one controlling all the negotiating, is not negotiating. And so it's time that, we're willing to, conservatives, moderates, those in the middle, we're all willing to negotiate, but it's time we have some kind of a conversation.
Yeah. Well, on that point of the number of members of Congress that have been elected to deal with Obamacare, it's like surprising to the Washington establishment that these men and women who were elected are actually just trying to perform their promise to voters.
Well, my commitment to you, my commitment to the people back home was I was going to run on a principle and stay true to that principle. And that may be the surprising thing is that when people get elected, that they stay true to a principle.
But there's a new breed of leader that has come to Washington since 2010, and there's a number of you that have not held public office before. So you didn't get here by playing the political game. You came here. You left a very good business behind.
I did. Yeah, I was a business guy, and I was the guy that supported those candidates that were going to be principled.
Was it easier to write those checks?
Yeah, definitely, much easier to write the checks. But I can tell you that I didn't do enough. Knowing the battle that is raging, that you're carrying the mantle, I did not do enough. And if there's any regrets that I have, it's the 20 or 30 years where I didn't support those candidates and ministries and opportunities to protect the freedoms. And there's I've asked for forgiveness a number of times, and quite frankly, it's something that is very hard to even recall.
Well, I can tell you, Congressman, you're making up for it now. Your leadership on Capitol Hill has grabbed the attention of many, and as a freshman member of Congress coming in, I can tell from talking to your colleagues the respect that they have for you. And I remain optimistic, and I tell this to our listeners quite frequently. And this is, in fact, I told a reporter this afternoon. I said, one of the things that will happen this weekend is values voters, conservatives come from across the country here, they are going to see on the stage here, they're going to see those who are fighting for the things that they believe in and day out. Now, you guys don't always appear on CNN. You don't always appear on Fox. You're not the ones that are setting the tone or the discussion. So most people don't see what happens here day in and day out. They don't realize that there are men and women here that are here for the right reason, doing the right thing the right way.
Well, and when we do appear on MSNBC or CNN, it's not normally in a positive light. And so, we are fighting the fight. I can tell you, over the last couple of weeks, there's not been a night where I've gone to bed before 11:30 or midnight trying to find compromise and ways to advance our principles and yet still keep our government operating, making sure men and women back home are protected. And that's a full-time job. It's a calling. And quite frankly, it's one that not just myself, but a number of my colleagues have answered, and I'm proud to serve with so many of them.
Congressman Meadows, before I let you go, what do our listeners need to be doing right now? I mean, there's, people, we've gotten into this point where the leadership has drawn the line. Some people have kind of backed off. The phone calls still need to be coming in. Do people need to be speaking? What do they need to be doing?
They need to be calling their Senate, even though most of the senators have put their calls on call forward. They need to call their senators and congressmen, and those that are supporting it, make sure they call, because we're hearing from the other side. They've got paid robocalls coming into our office. The toll on our staff is unbelievable. So pray for our staff. Make those calls and make sure that you do that.
All right. Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina, thanks so much for being with us, and thanks for the update on what's unfolding on Capitol Hill as we speak.
Thank you so much for all you do, Tony. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Again, that was Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina. All right, coming up after the break, Congressman Mike Pompeo of Kansas joins us to talk about a unbelievable move by the Obama administration that almost put contract priests behind bars for ministering to men and women in uniform. That's next right here on the Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The President of the United States has shown himself willing to violate the public trust we placed in him as the chief executive of the federal government. Whether it's his signature legislation, the Affordable Care Act, as it forces employers to violate their conscience and provide abortion-inducing drugs, or his political appointments at the IRS, targeting conservative groups. Here at FRC, we are concerned. We are concerned about the Obama administration's ethical lapses and abuse of power, even in matters beyond our core mission. We believe that dishonest and unethical behavior will have direct and grave implications on the things we hold dear: the protection of human life, the health of the family, and religious liberty. To find out more, check out our report found at frc.org/abuse of power. That's frc.org/abuse of power. Marriage. The Supreme Court made their decisions, and some people tell us we're on the wrong side of history. But we respectfully disagree. History's not yet written. However, we know the author of history and believe he has a good and beautiful design for marriage. And so we still believe that marriage is a building block of all human civilization. We still believe that marriage is public and not just private. We still believe that marriage is a unique relationship, one that brings together a man and a woman in a monogamous relationship where they pledge to each other to be faithful by vows that are permanent and exclusive. We also understand that many people disagree with us, and we know that these conversations and debates won't go away. If you'd like a resource to help you discuss marriage with friends and family, please visit frc.org/marriage-questions-and-answers. That's frc.org/marriage-questions-and-answers.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for being with us. The government shutdown reached another low this past weekend as contract military priests were not just told they were unable to perform services to men and women on base, but were also threatened, some of them, with arrest if they were to do so, even if that service was voluntary. Congressman Mike Pompeo released a statement saying, quote, "The constitutional rights of those who put their lives on the line for this nation do not end with a government shutdown." Congressman Pompeo of Kansas joined me on Wednesday for a discussion.
Well, Congressman, as a man who has served our country, what's your reaction to this, that the administration is playing games with religious liberty?
It's truly, it's chilling, Tony. Both in my role as a member of Congress and then just personally, I still have lots of friends and colleagues who are on active duty and they're getting a little older now, but to watch a president behave in this way, to go out of his way, when he clearly has the authority to allow these chaplains to continue to do their work, these priests to continue to do the work to tend to the religious and spiritual needs of those who are serving our country, and inflict this this unnecessary pain. I think there are enormous constitutional problems with it, but put that aside for the moment. there's no way to describe this but as being punitive and mean and having a streak of any religiosity that I think is unprecedented in the annals of times when there's been conflicts within our government. There's just no reason for him to have gone out of his way to allow these folks not to do this. Forget the money now. These folks wanted to volunteer.
Right.
And to do that is a tragic and terrible thing. It's a bad day for our nation.
I mean, it was so over the pale that it was 401 was the vote in the House regarding the resolution put forward by your colleague, Congressman Doug Collins. So only, I don't know who that one member to vote against it was, but 400-1 is a pretty strong statement. But yet the Senate's refusing to take it up. The president has refused to back off on this. What's the next step here?
Well, I hope that the folks on the Senate side will hear the same kind of things that I've heard from my constituents and from folks in the military about how important this is. I hope they'll take it up and they'll pass it. Or I hope the president will reconsider. I don't consider either of those particularly likely, and so we're going to try and continue to make the case. Representative Collins and I and a whole group of us are going to try and continue to speak out about how important this is. I was literally just at a meeting, and a young woman told me that she'd gone to Fort Belvoir this weekend, and there was no mass out at Fort Belvoir this past Sunday. I haven't been able to verify that, but it would certainly be consistent with the policy that the administration has set down. So there were a bunch of folks, not only the military folks, but all their families, who missed that chance to worship. And you can't get that back.
In some cases, we're talking about foreign establishments, foreign installations where there may not be alternatives.
Oh, absolutely. No, many of these folks will have only a single place where they can go practice their faith. They'll be in a remote location in a nation that doesn't have other Catholic or Christian facilities where they can go. So their one option was to have the time with that chaplain that was dedicated to them, whether it was an active duty person or contract person. Really is of no materiality. I hope some of these folks did what good civil disobedience do, and they held their own little private mass or their own private service. That would be deeply in the religious tradition that I know, which says we worship our Lord and then we do good by our government after that.
Absolutely. Congressman Pompeo, let me ask you this question while we got our listeners here. We're almost out of time. But what can they do to help out in this effort? Can they do anything?
Sure. There's a number of things. If you've got a senator who you think ought to know about this, you should share that with them. You should tell them about why it matters to you. And if you've got folks that are listening who are active duty folks overseas, they should talk with their folks. And then keep praying. That always works as well, Tony.
All right. Mike, thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, sir. You have a good evening.
Again, that was Congressman Mike Pompeo of Kansas. To find out more about the topics we covered on this weekend edition of Washington Watch, go to TonyPerkins.com. If you're not already a subscriber to my daily update and our alerts, you can do that right there on the website, TonyPerkins.com. Thanks so much for tuning in, and until next week, for all of us here at the Family Research Council, keep standing for faith, family, and freedom.
Washington Watch Weekly is a donor-supported ministry of the Family Research Council.